Welcome to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Our top story: China rolling out a new K visa program to attract foreign tech and science experts. With changes to the U.S. H-1B visa rules, how will Beijing's plan stack up? We break it down. Mexico targeting China with new investigations and planned tariffs. Beijing warning of retaliation. Is Mexico signaling closer ties with the U.S.? Beijing setting four red lines for U.S. envoy to Hong Kong. More on the U.S. response now and how it's changed since 6 years ago. And a former Chinese Communist Party official facing death threats after breaking ties with the regime. His words echoing in a quiet but massive movement sweeping across China and abroad. China is stepping up efforts to attract global talent. On Wednesday, Beijing launched a new K visa for foreign professionals in science and technology. Experts say the program is designed to compete with Washington's H-1B visa. Unlike the H-1B, the K visa doesn't require employer sponsorship, a major selling point for skilled workers. The rollout comes just after President Trump announced a $100,000 fee for H-1B visas. The move could make it tougher for American businesses to hire international talent. Officials say China's K visa will streamline entry for high-skilled workers in key sectors, from AI to advanced manufacturing. But experts warn of challenges within the Chinese program. Many foreign professionals have left China in recent years because of strict rules and heavy censorship. Those rules limit access to important scientific and research data. That makes it hard for young scientists and entrepreneurs to innovate in such a restrictive environment. Also, many companies in China follow a 996 schedule, meaning 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week. That can be a shock to foreigners. Experts warn these issues could undercut the program's long-term success. On top of that, China has a long history of strict immigration rules, making it difficult for foreigners to settle there. Chinese officials declined to provide details when asked about these concerns. Since President Trump announced higher fees on H-1B visas, many Indians have been looking for new options. They make up the vast majority of H-1B holders, more than 70% in recent years. Now some are eyeing China's new K visa. The program comes with lighter requirements than Washington's. The move comes as China and India resume direct flights after years of border tensions. Still, it's unclear if Beijing is ready to truly bring foreign workers into its economy and society. China's launch of the K visa has sparked widespread backlash amid a tough job market at home. That's happening as more than 12 million new college grads struggle to find work in China. Hashtags about the K visa have been trending on Chinese social media platform Weibo, reaching nearly half a billion views in just 2 days. One social media post read, "Don't you realize how hard it is for new college graduates to land a job now? You'd rather attract foreign talent instead of looking after your own citizens. Sometimes it feels like this society is broken." Another post questioned the K visa rules, saying it only requires a bachelor's degree. It asked, "Do we not have enough college graduates already? Maybe we haven't reached the point where we have to lower our standard to attract foreigners to fill the talent pool." Nearly 19% of China's youth are currently unemployed. Mexico is stepping up trade pressure on China. It's launching new anti-dumping investigations targeting Chinese imports, a move many see as siding with the U.S. Beijing fired back Friday, targeting Mexico's actions and threatening to take all necessary measures.
Mexico has recently launched four new anti-dumping investigations into Chinese goods, including float glass and PVC tarpaulins, plastic covers used in shipping and construction. That brings the total to 11 anti-dumping cases this year, nearly double last year's number. Just last month, Mexico President Claudia Sheinbaum unveiled plans for sweeping new tariffs on countries without trade agreements, including China. The proposed tariffs would range from 10% to 50%, targeting over 1,400 products, and could start as soon as January 1, 2026. In response, China launched its own anti-dumping probe into pecans imported from Mexico and the U.S. On Friday, China's Commerce Ministry issued a statement on Mexico's investigation saying, quote, "In the current context of the U.S. abusing tariffs, all countries should jointly oppose unilateralism, prevent the spread of protectionism, and avoid imposing restrictions on China under various pretexts due to external pressure." Analysts say the moves show that Mexico is leaning toward Washington, the country's largest trading partner and the world's biggest economy. At the same time, it gives Mexico some flexibility as a USMCA trade deal comes up for review this month. The deal is North America's main trade deal, linking the U.S., Mexico, and Canada.
Next, in Hong Kong, Beijing has been taking issue with recent U.S. diplomatic moves in the city, but Washington appears to be downplaying the issue. Julie Ida, a longtime U.S. diplomat assigned to Hong Kong, is at the center of a recent diplomatic stir. Earlier this week, the head of China's Foreign Ministry office in Hong Kong summoned Ida to a special meeting. This came after Chinese state media reported that Ida attended gatherings with former Hong Kong politicians, many known for their pro-democracy stance. Beijing's mouthpiece has taken aim at Ida for days, accusing her of interfering in China's internal affairs. Back to the meeting, the Chinese diplomat laid down four strict don'ts for Ida. Don't meet with people you shouldn't, don't collude with anti-China forces, don't support activities seen as threats to stability, don't get involved in Hong Kong's national security cases. China imposed a national security law on Hong Kong in 2020, a move that helps Beijing tighten control over the city and suppress pro-democracy voices. In response, the U.S. State Department brushed off Beijing's warning to the new U.S. Consul General in Hong Kong. They said U.S. diplomats represent their country and promote American interests, a normal part of their work worldwide, including in Hong Kong. This marks a shift from 2019, when tensions over Hong Kong led to stronger pushback from Washington. Philadelphia raised the flag of Communist China at City Hall earlier this week. The event was co-organized by a group with ties to the Chinese Communist Party. It was meant to mark the so-called China's National Day, which commemorates the communist takeover of the country. The CCP flag-raising ceremony drew criticism and protests from human rights activists and lawmakers. One of the first politicians to speak out was Pennsylvania State Senator Doug Mastriano. Back in September, NTD's Don Ma sat down with him to discuss the controversy.
First of all, why is this such a terrible idea? What message is it sending when we're raising the flag of a regime that is known for severe human rights abuses?
Yeah, on two levels. On the American level, United States, you know, Philadelphia is a birthplace of liberty where our Declaration and our Constitution were signed. You know, documents that are rooted in freedom and human dignity. The communist Chinese flag is the opposite of all of that. What kind of madman thinks it's a great idea to raise a flag of a country that has 100,000 deaths on their hands, up to 400 million aborted babies, almost half a billion babies aborted with the one-child policy, a regime that continues to attack Christians, arresting pastors, destroying churches, going after the Uyghurs, the Muslim majority out west, going after Falun Gong, any ethnic majority that are reaping the organs of many prisoners, such as Falun Gong, especially a $1 billion organ industry they're doing, the mass surveillance of their country. We think about Tiananmen Square and 1,000 people that stood up for freedom and were killed or arrested. We don't even have the numbers on that. And that the idea that it's a great idea to raise the flag that symbolizes oppression and persecution and the opposite of the American ideals, is repugnant to me. And of all cities, Philadelphia should not be doing this.
And you know, Senator, how do you think the CCP is reacting to this if they're not celebrating already? I mean, you know, there's something inherently wrong, I think, if your enemy or rival or adversary or whatever is celebrating something you're doing.
Yeah, Napoleon said, never interrupt your enemy when he's making a mistake. And clearly, the Chinese, they must be, the communists in Beijing must be laughing their pants off, because what kind of ridiculous message is this in America? We say that we're the defender of freedom. We represent human rights and freedom of choice and everything that China, that communist China is not. And you look at this and they must, when the leadership of the Communist Party in China looks over, they must see a bunch of useful idiots in Philadelphia, because who would do this? it is an insult to anyone of ethnic Chinese background that you would do this here, especially for people that fled the persecution, that seek asylum in America, that have raised a family and enjoy freedom, who still have relatives back home. And what an insult this is. And I just can't make this stuff up. To do it, of all places, I just did an event in Philadelphia on the 12th of September commemorating when our Congress in 1782 endorsed the Bible, the Aiken Bible. And we did that event there. It's our history is rooted there. And just down the street, you know, a week later, here they are raising that red flag that represents blood and murder and oppression and everything anathema to our ideals as Americans.
What do you say to that Philadelphia officials saying that this event is about promoting cultural exchange?
What a profoundly ridiculous, stupid, and naive statement. I would ask them to open up one history book or go to Google and simply type in, list the atrocities of communist China since their takeover in 1947, and you could account for up to 100 million dead, and it goes on today. We think about COVID-19 in Wuhan. We don't even know what happened there. There's another cover-up from communist China that affected the entire world. I think it's a great idea. While Tibetan monks are being thrown in jail, while Christian pastors are being arrested with underground churches, while Falun Gong followers are being in prison and having their organs out to be sold on the international market. And this is a great idea to raise the flag of a country that represents all of that. No, thank you.
Okay, Senator Mastriano, such a pleasure to speak with you today. Thank you.
A former Chinese Communist Party official says he's received death threats for openly quitting the party. His name is Fan Qihua. He worked as an official in China's Hunan province, but lost his job after helping petitioners seek justice. Since then, Fan has publicly denounced his ties to the regime. Fan's decision comes amid a massive movement quietly sweeping China for over two decades. More than 450 million people have quit the Chinese Communist Party and its affiliate organizations. They do this by posting statements on an overseas website, often using pseudonyms. The movement began after NTD's sister outlet, The Epoch Times, published a series of editorials called Nine Commentaries on the Communist Party. There are tens of thousands of petitioners in China, people who have often been mistreated and feel local courts won't help them. They go to petition offices to make complaints. Many travel long distances to higher level offices, hoping to get justice. It was Fan's job to help with their concerns. According to a statement Fan posted on an overseas site for quitting the Chinese Communist Party, Fan said that after going public with his decision, plainclothes police searched his trash can and authorities cut off his internet at home. He hinted he could be forcibly disappeared at any time. Fan added life as a CCP official can turn on a dime, from trusted insider to enemy of the regime overnight. And while he said he can't be too harsh as a former official, he left this message. Life will find its own way out, and so will a civilization. Coming up, Huawei's latest AI chips are out, but they still rely heavily on foreign suppliers. Are U.S. export limits really shutting China out of vital foreign tech? An NVIDIA's $100 billion AI deal making headlines, but experts warning it could give China a backdoor to critical technology. A cybersecurity analyst tells us why that's raising alarms for the U.S.
As you know, for companies to do business in China, such as NVIDIA, who was selling their GPU chips to AI developers in China, they must give their IP over to the government.
More on that after the break here on China in Focus. Welcome back to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. China bought about 45% of all U.S. soybean exports last year. This year, zero. Amid the trade standoff, President Trump says he'll use tariff revenue collected from other countries to help American farmers. One of them, Illinois farmer Chris Gould, says China's freeze on U.S. soybeans is costing farmers billions. Here's more.
There's a lot of pain going on the countryside right now.
China, which was once the U.S.'s largest customer, is buying soybeans from Argentina instead, as it remains in a trade dispute with Washington.
China is definitely going elsewhere to the extent that they can. You know, I assume that at some point they'll buy some U.S. soybeans, but so far it's a goose egg for the 25 crop.
American soy still carries a 20% tariff in China, making it a tough sell, while Argentina is suspending its export tax. The third-generation Illinois farmer says he isn't looking for a handout, just support.
You know, the message is we need our government to do their job, which is not write emergency aid checks to us, but to promote worldwide trade so we can earn our income like we need to.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent told CNBC Thursday he is doing just that, indicating an announcement will be made on Tuesday. He also said almost every recent U.S. trade deal included a buying of American farm products. Quote, so we're going to see other countries substitute for China. President Donald Trump said on Wednesday that soybeans would be a major topic of discussion when he meets with Chinese President Xi Jinping in 4 weeks.
Huawei is tapping into some of Asia's biggest tech firms to build its own AI chips. Investigators found parts from Taiwan's TSMC, SK Hynix, and even Samsung inside Huawei's latest processors. The findings highlight just how much China still relies on foreign technology, even as it pushes to cut reliance on U.S. tech firms like NVIDIA. Researchers at Tech Insights tore down Huawei's newest Ascend 910C chip and discovered that the circuits came from TSMC. On top of that, the memory components used were supplied by Samsung and SK Hynix. Notably, the U.S. has been trying to cut Huawei off from advanced components for years. The company's been on a U.S. trade blacklist since President Trump's first term. His administration accused the company of having strong ties to China's military. Washington's restrictions are aimed at slowing down China's AI development and to keep companies like Huawei from competing with U.S. chip giant NVIDIA. Meanwhile, Samsung, SK Hynix, and TSMC all say they follow U.S. export rules and claim they don't know how their parts ended up in Huawei's recent chips. Still, analysts note Huawei is burning through its stockpile of foreign components. And once it runs low, China could face a serious shortage of the memory chips it needs to produce more by the end of the year. NVIDIA is making headlines with its $100 billion deal with OpenAI, but experts warn U.S. tech firms could be handing over crucial artificial intelligence know-how to China in the process. Rex Lee, cybersecurity advisor at MySmart Privacy, joins us to explain why this could be a major red flag. Rex Lee, thank you so much for joining us. Great to have you back on the show.
Thank you for having me on the show, Tiffany.
Now, NVIDIA has been making headlines because of its $100 billion deal with OpenAI, but at the same time, you're seeing something in China where China's not letting Chinese companies buy open or chips from NVIDIA. What do you make of that? What is the fate of NVIDIA in your view?
Well, this is a really a big deal because way back when, regarding Huawei and Nortel, going into Canada and they were partnering with Huawei on some deals, Huawei allegedly stole IP from Nortel to build 5G networks. So let's fast forward to NVIDIA in China. As you know, for companies to do business in China, such as NVIDIA, who was selling their GPU chips to AI developers in China, they must give their IP over to the government. Also, tech sold in China from the United States or anywhere else in the country is also used and militarized by China through their civil military fusion program. This is a big red flag, as a matter of fact, because if that is the case, and whether it's Huawei or another Chinese tech company that can reproduce these GPU chips, and then they're sold internally to Chinese companies developing AI, then that's a huge red flag for the United States, and it could have an impact as well regarding an invasion of Taiwan later by China, because as you know, right now the biggest fabrication plants in the world for these types of chips, whether they're AI or computer chips, are all manufactured mostly in Taiwan, and they're starting to be manufactured here in the United States, but there's no way that the United States, that the fabrication plants in the United States can even catch up to Taiwan, much less catch up to China in the next 3 or 4 years. So strategically, this could be a big red flag.
And with what you just laid out here, what does that mean in terms of the tech race between the U.S. and China?
Well, obviously, it's closer than what people believe it is. We're always told that we're in an AI race with China, but we hold the cards because we have more advanced technology. But that may not be the case because, as you know, not just with NVIDIA, but IBM, Apple, Google, Microsoft, they all have to share their AI IP with Chinese app developers because why? Google, Apple, Microsoft monopolize the operating system market. So that means that all of these app developers in China, especially the ones who are infusing their apps and social media platforms with AI like ByteDance and TikTok or Tencent and WeChat and so forth, Alibaba Quan, DeepSeek AI, all of these apps are distributed through Google Play, Apple App Store, and Microsoft Windows App Store, and they all have to be compatible with those three operating systems. So consequently, American companies are sharing their AI IP with Chinese app developers, and now we're starting to see signs that it's not only being weaponized against these companies, but it's being weaponized economically to compete against these companies in the future. So what you saw was a dip in NVIDIA stock, and then now you have this symbiotic relationship between all of these AI companies in the United States. Suddenly it's announced that $100 billion is going to be invested into OpenAI from NVIDIA. Then you start to see how the stock prices can be manipulated by intercompany deals when something like this has happened.
A lot of developments for sure. Rexley, as always, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
That's all for today's China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. If you have any feedback on the show or have something you'd like to see us cover, send us an email at chinainfocus@ntd.com. We'd love to hear from you. For on-the-clock original news coverage, visit us at ntd.com or download our NTD app. Thanks for watching. See you soon.